Hi, I'm Tyra G, your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal listeners. Fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. You know, here we dig deep and we come up strong. We bravely walk into places where tradition has taught us there are some things you just do not talk about. But not at this table. And no matter how hard judgment knocks, it cannot come in. Beloved, here we live beyond the wreckage. Every week, we experience, we educate, we encourage and empower each other. We share our aha moments and the stories that have been left in our pockets for too long. Every week, we start right where we are. Although many of your voices will speak light into darkness, there is no insignificant person around this table. The dress code, however, is your authenticity and your belief that impossible is merely a word to describe the degree of difficulty. Frankly Speaking with Tyra G is one of my most precious dreams. I thank God for every remembrance of you and your gift of ideas, your presence, your encouragement. I can't do this show without you. Thank you so much. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia. Cablecast on Cox and Verizon Fios, Channel 37, and Comcast on Channel 27 in Reston. And webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Should you miss us? No worry. We have archived shows of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G podcast on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and we have some shows on YouTube, Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. I know some of you like to talk to me offline. Keep it coming. Those of you who are new to our show and want to, it's easy. Email me at tyra@tyragarlington.com. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And thank you, Courtney Nero, for composing and performing our Frankly Speaking theme song and for naming it I'm Listening. Over the past 3 years, storytelling on Frankly Speaking with Tyra G has been exciting, intentionally thematic across generations and cultures and genre. Now this year, a powerful, invisible, silent enemy has paused humanity as we knew it and attempted to steal our joy. Many of us were left feeling powerless. Many of us grieve the loss of jobs. The concept of home was necessarily expanded to include office, classroom, gyms, hair salon, barbershops. We became dependent on technology to facilitate how and when we were able to connect and learn and love. It's been hard to stay positive and enthusiastic about much of anything. I have had to intentionally remind myself that what was happening to me is separate and distinct from who I am. I'm holding tight to the power of a thought because I know thoughts can drive new possibilities just as they could limit outcomes. So I went on a treasure hunt, looking for stories and storytellers that shine light into this dark uncertainty and unrest. I found many heroes and sheroes and organizations out there who both breathe and breed hope and health, who empower and encourage, who refuse to be refused. Their actions and their words are helping us rise above the discouraging noise to explore positive potential solutions to our challenging and challenges, and helping us move toward a healthier, more inclusive world. These leaders and organizations seemingly and almost unanimously have chosen service as a method of healing both self and the world. Service as a way of lighting up darkness. Well, this week's story is one edition included in a portfolio of stories about a 116-year-old global organization that is involved and driven by its need to serve. It's been a well-kept secret for many years as a matter of design. But the secret's out now. Rotary International, through its community-based national and international goals, 35,000 clubs work together globally to pursue causes that include promoting peace, fighting disease, providing clean water, sanitation, and hygiene, saving mothers and children, supporting education, growing local economies, and, newly added, protecting the environment and disaster response. So I hear your next question, Tyra. What is a Rotary? You know what? I asked that question once myself. The answer to the question is embodied in this portfolio of Frankly Speaking radio shows. The theme is called Rotary Opening Opportunities Through Service. So within that parameter, I want to answer that question a little differently this week. First of all, Rotary is 1.2 million members globally. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. But this week, I'm focusing on the intergenerational nature and programs in Rotary. Servant hearts are recruited and nurtured as early as junior high school. Interact clubs, that's what they're called then, bring together young people ages 12 through 18 to develop leadership skills while discovering the power of service above self. Interact clubs organize at least two projects every year, one that helps their school or community and one that promotes international understanding. Rotary Club sponsors, mentor, and guide Interactors as they carry out projects and develop leadership skills. Do you know there are more than 20,300 Interact clubs in 159 countries? This is young people interested in community service. I love this. Our future is safe, everybody. Beyond the Interact, we have something called Rotaract clubs. They bring together people ages 18 and older to exchange ideas with leaders in the community, to develop leadership and professional skills, and to Rotaracts that I know to have fun through service. In communities worldwide, Rotary and Rotaract members work side by side to take action through service. Now, Rotaract originally began as just a Rotary International Youth Program in 1968 at Charlotte North Rotary Club in Charlotte, North Carolina, United States. And it has grown into a major organization of 10,904 clubs spread around the world and over 200,003 members in 189 countries. I wanted you to have this background because my Rotary guest today is a member of Rotaract. But more specifically, he's a member of a global Rotaract club. Now, although the pandemic, I complained about it earlier, dropped a bomb in our lives for now, technology has become a sort of hero in our lives as well. Without technological advances, I could not introduce you to my guest tonight, Mr. George O'Meara, who's a member of Rotaract at the University of Nairobi in Kenya. Now, let me take a few minutes and act as a tour guide for tonight's adventure. We're going to be traveling to and listening with both our ears and our compassion. We are connecting to Nairobi, Kenya. Now, our show here in Virginia airs at 8 p.m. on Saturday evening. But guess what? It is 4 a.m. Sunday in Nairobi. So I have to thank George for waking up so early for our planning calls. I would call him at 7:30, and it was 3:30 there, and he was just as alert and respectful and fun. There's more that you'll find out about George in a minute. For our international listeners who may not know Nairobi, let me tell you a little bit. It's the largest city of Kenya. The name comes from a Maasai phrase, Inkari Nairobi, which translates to cool water. The city originally came about in the 1890s as a colonial railway settlement. In 1905, Nairobi became the capital of the British East Africa Protectorate. Well, Kenya gained its independence in 1963, and Nairobi remained the capital. The official languages of Kenya are English and Swahili. English is what you'll hear mostly in big business, higher education, government. My guest tonight is fluent in three languages. English, his second being, this is fascinating, one of 47 dialects spoken by a diverse group of tribes. We're going to have a wonderful adventure tonight, and I want to begin by setting our common thought space for our time together. It's called, If I Had a Little Boy, and I quote, "If I had a little boy, I would tell him all the things he would need to know to be a peace-filled man. I would let him know that if a man cannot follow, he can never be able to lead. I would tell him that commitment, determination, endurance, patience, and faith are more powerful than speed, force, and physical strength. I would tell him that people may not remember everything you do, but they'll always remember how you did it. I would tell him to always strive to make people feel worthy and important for whatever they can contribute. I would tell my little boy that omission of information is the same as a lie. I would tell him that when you try to meet life on your own terms, you may be forced to renegotiate. I would tell him that each day is a blessing, and what you do with your blessing determines how you'll be blessed. I would tell my little boy to be willing rather than willful, to listen rather than be the first to speak, to be open to correction rather than unwilling to hear another point of view, and that the accumulation of material possessions is not really the measure of success. I would tell my little boy that a man who cannot laugh at himself is a danger to himself and others. A man who does not trust himself is a man who cannot be trusted. And a man who cannot be trusted cannot love. I would tell my little boy that what he thinks is a reflection of what he holds in his heart. Most important, I would want my little boy to know that it's okay to be vulnerable. Because when you're vulnerable, you're innocent. I would tell my little boy that innocence is a gift from God. Now, until today, you may not have realized that all men start as little boys who need information. But just for today, be devoted to rethinking what you believe about men and manhood and your understanding of both. And there I end quote. I must admit, I chose this quote from life coach and author Iana Van Sant from her 2000 book, Until Today, after I'd had two very special conversations with my guest today. Now, in a minute, George will introduce himself, as we ask all of our guests to do, And he then will be our latest addition to our Frankly Speaking Human Library. But I'm also going to ask George to continue his story after that without any interruption from me to avoid delays, satellite delays. But before I begin, I must say this. I'm willing to bet that 116 years ago, the 37-year-old lawyer and Rotary founder Paul Harris and his three buddies, who sat in a dim Chicago office on a cold February night, had no idea that their dream of creating a club where men like themselves, who didn't live in Chicago, who came from small towns, could find friendship, could find a network, could share business ideas. In 2021, that same dream would have blossomed to be these 1.2 million members, 35,000 clubs strong. I used to research Paul Harris, and I listened to one of his first radio addresses in 1930. His words said, "At that time, the world is a changing place, and Rotary must change with it." And it has. Tonight's an example. Rotary used to be just for professional men. Now we have men and women in leadership positions, and we've enthusiastically reached out to the younger generations to empower and encourage service above self. Without any further ado, I'm giving George the mic. Thank you so much, and welcome, George, to Frankly Speaking with Tyra G.
Thank you so much, Tyra. And how best to start my week with being part of Frankly Speaking? And before I introduce myself, this week in the Rotary calendar is actually World Rotary and Rotaract Week. And it's such an honor to start my Rotaract Week with being part of Frankly Speaking. My name is Emmanuel George Omiro. I am 22 years of age and soon turning 23. I am currently a junior student at the University of Nairobi, Kenya, studying Bachelor of Commerce and a major in risk management and insurance, and how best to mitigate risk factor in different life aspects, and also basically dealing with environmental pollution and how best to mitigate them. Apart from my degree, I love reading and working with children. I grew up in a country that is diverse in culture and multilingual. We have 42 tribe languages, and Swahili is our national language here in Kenya. We also have English, and myself, I can speak three fluent languages, that is English, Swahili, and my local tribe language, which is Luo. With all these many languages in play, learning English was not a walk in the park. It was very, very difficult and foreign to our tongues. But what kept me going was a quote from my dad, and he used to say, "Determination has no barrier." The role of my siblings and my parents was very, very important in my life and also growing up. I must say, I am the last born in my family, and most things I had to learn and uphold from my elder sisters. Take, for instance, academic track record. They set the bar so high, and being the last born and the only boy amongst three girls, I had to match their pace. They have been such a source of great motivation to me and generally in my life. My dad, Lamech Omiro, played also a big role in shaping my reading culture, and my best memory growing up was us as a family going to the library every Saturday with my dad and my two siblings and borrowing books, and later on in the evening, my dad reading bedtime stories to us before retiring to bed. Growing up in a third world country may be challenging, and one of the struggles is going to the school and also just getting access to literacy materials. We used to walk 10 miles every weekend just to get access to library. Owning a car is out of the question, and the cost of public transport was extremely high and very expensive. So our only resort was walking those 10 miles every Saturday. And it used to take us more than 2.5 hours just walking to the public library. And growing up and having that reading culture being instilled by my dad, by my mom, and also my siblings, I came to read so many pieces of literature, both in Kenya and to the general world. And you know, something with books, books will make you to travel to America, to travel to Europe, to travel to South Africa, while just still being in one position. It's like books open doors to different opportunities and just making you learn so many things. In one of the books that I read when I was in grade 7, I remember meeting Sally Christian Ride, who is my mentor. And to those of you who don't know Sally Christian Ride, she was the first American woman in space, and she was an astronaut. She really intrigued me, and she motivated me with her determination, going the extra mile and achieving the unachievable. And from then, I knew I wanted to pursue aeronautical engineering and also be an astronaut later on in life. Though I never got an opportunity to study that in my university, but I still have hopes one day I'll be able to be an astronaut. Another mentor in my life is Raymond Gonzalez, and I will quote one of his sayings and something that I really treasure. He once told me, the most important thing that you own as a human being is your word. If you give your word, own it. And it's something which I've really been practicing on and just trying to own my word. And another mentor in my life is Paul Harris, the great founder of Rotary International. And something that I love about Paul Harris is the four-way test that almost all Rotarians, all Rotaractors and Interactors know. One, in everything that we do, is it the truth? Two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendship? And that's something which I normally try to use in my day-to-day activity. Now, how did I get involved with Rotary and being a Rotaractor? growing up in Kenya, and also, as I said earlier on, getting access to literacy material and education is very, very difficult. And I was so determined to achieve my level best despite all these challenges. And with my good academic track record, I got a scholarship in high school with a non-profit organization in US, which goes by the name E3 Kids International. They paid for my high school, and after 4 years, I graduated from high school, and something that clicked into my mind was, hey, George, you got a scholarship from E3 Kids International. How best are you going to give back to the society? And in Kenya, once you finish high school, there is 1 year that you will stay at home as you wait to transit to college. And E3 Kids International had a library. They had established a library in Mombasa, Kenya, one of the cities in Kenya. So I decided to go and give back to the society by volunteering as a library assistant in that library that was established by E3 Kids International. And it happened that during my volunteer year at the library, one of the board members of E3 Kids International, someone who really plays a good role and a very, very important role in my life, and her name is Lina Gonzalez Berrios. She is actually a Rotarian. And she asked me, hey, George, I can see you have a heart of service and you really love giving back to the society. Are you familiar with the Rotaract? And my honest answer to her was, hey, Miss Lena, honestly, I'm not familiar with the Rotaract. Maybe you can elaborate more about Rotaract. So she went ahead and gave me an introduction and told me about Rotaract. And I remember her telling me, hey, George, you will be transiting to the University of Nairobi, which is one of the best universities in Africa. Try to look and find out if they have a Rotaract club. And when I started my university back in 2018, 3 years ago, indeed, the University of Nairobi had a Rotaract club. And the first time I went to their meeting, I was like, oh my God, this is where my heart is, because all the values that they uphold was something which aligned to my values, giving back to the society. They had different dockets, leadership, community service, international service, and also club service. And my Rotaract president, her name by then was Victoria Gaya. And after 1 year of being a member of Rotaract, she elected me with the help of the club to be the sergeant at arms, a position which I really enjoyed. And also it made me to learn so many things, including leadership skills, how to lead people, and just being in charge and taking responsibility. 1 year after that, I got an opportunity to visit the United States of America, courtesy of E3 Kids International. And I visited the United States of America in 2019 for 5 weeks. It was very short, but I achieved so many things, including speaking to different Rotary clubs, Rotaract clubs, and different universities, something which I really, really appreciated. I traveled back to Kenya, and we did so many things as a Rotaract club. And During our next year election, I got elected as the vice president of the club. And then I got another opportunity to visit United States of America in 2020. And E3 Kids has really played a very important role in my life because they gave me the scholarship for high school. And even right now at the university, they are the ones who gave me the scholarship. So when I visited the United States of America in 2020, I had intended to be there for 4 months doing my internship with the nonprofit E3 Kids International, and also another internship with the library, a public library in Virginia. And the library name is Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Everything was smooth and everything was okay until COVID-19 hit. And all of you can remember and know how we lived in such an unprecedented time. But when I look back at 2020, when COVID hit, I couldn't even travel back home because my own country had closed its borders because of COVID-19. And I would say thanks to my host family, who happened to be Lina Gonzalez Berrios, and she is a Rotarian. She welcomed me to her home with a warm heart, and just being there for me as a family and also as a Rotarian, I got so many opportunities despite COVID-19. I was able to speak to different Rotary clubs, including her club that is North Stafford Rotary Clubs. Though, as you know, in America, most of the things were now being done virtually. But when I look at things, I am a social being. I love going outside and engaging in community service. And because of COVID, I was not able to do that because of all the traveling restrictions and such. But still, I was able to speak to different Rotary clubs. I was able to speak to different schools, including Fredericksburg Christian Schools, and just sharing with them my adventure and life in Rotaract, and how best we can use our voice to make an impact in the society, to make a positive impact in the lives of different people. All this, I was able to do it virtually. And during my 1 year stay in the United States of America, I learned so many things. I was able to meet so many great people virtually and just increasing my social network. I mean, this is just a young Rotaractor who was 21 years old by then. And I am a people person, and I really value connecting to people, getting to know them, and just making good use of that. I believe in people and keeping in touch. And I remember my Rotaract club being affected so much with COVID-19. Schools had to be closed. And because Kenya didn't have all these technical infrastructure, technological advancement, we were not able to do our classes online. So which means all our Rotaract activities were stopped because we are an institutional-based club. And most of our members even didn't have access to computers, let alone Wi-Fi and internet. But still, I was able to keep in touch with them. And even we did a couple of projects, including Adopt a Bag, that was started by our mother club, where we donated 1,200 backpacks to students who are living in slum area in Nairobi, Jamhuri Primary School. So, you know, when it comes to Rotary, it opens opportunities, it opens doors. And I used that opportunity to link my mother club together with different clubs here in the U.S. and just being able to work together. I loved the unity and how we were able to assist those kids and making the project to be a success. I remember the first project that my Rotaract Club did in my vice presidency was the project of, we called it Donate a Boob. I know it may sound funny, but it's actually very serious because it was a breast cancer awareness project. So many women are affected with breast cancer, and my Rotaract Club decided to help these women who have undergone mastectomy. And we were able to help 188 women who were affected by breast cancer through the help of my mother club, that is Nairobi Club, Rotary Club of Nairobi Peponi, and also with my contacts in US, that is from North Stafford Rotary Club. We were able to fundraise together and make the project a success. So when I look at my journey in Rotary, all I can say, and actually I came up with a quote from all the different presentations that I made in different schools, different Rotary clubs, and this is the quote: Rotary, Rotaract, and Interact open doors and opportunities, but it is upon us to find the keys to open these doors, create networks, build bridges, and find how best we can channel our energy, time, and resources for the better good. Thank you so much, and this is George Omiro.
George, I'm sitting here and my heart is smiling. I'll bet you, I don't have to say anything else, that our listening audience probably just said, wow. 22-year-old George speaking about, well, his family, of course, and his mentors, and what Rotaract is and means to him. I want to go back over. I love your mentors you talked about. Sally Christian Ride, first American woman astronaut. Her goal, achieving the unachievable. And then Raymond Gonzalez, I love this. The most important thing you own in your life is your word. And then Paul Harris, the founder of Rotary, the four-way test. I want you to, before I go on, repeat the last quote that you closed with. Rotary, Rotaract, and Interact. Would you do that for me now, George?
Yes, please. So, Rotary, Rotaract, and Interact open doors and opportunities, but it is upon us to find the keys to open those doors, create networks, build bridges, and find how best we can channel our energy, time, and resources for the better good.
I find that very impressive because it talks about all of those words: network, building bridges, channeling energy, time, and resources are all action concepts. So people of action, and that's another tagline that Rotary often uses. The thing that I think is very important for us to hear as an audience, we've got several stories about Rotary International. That is the heart of what Rotary is. There's another part of it called the Rotary Foundation, and that piece of Rotary funds all of the activities, who raise money to fund the activities. And as George gave you a wonderful example of how the parent Rotary Club interacts with the Rotaract clubs and the Interact clubs. And I believe, yes, University of Nairobi Rotaract Club collaborated with the Home Rotary Club to deal with, was it donate a boob? Like the slang for breast? That's what it was, wasn't it, George? The Breast Cancer Project. I love that. One of the things that we find in countries, and as George described in third world countries, women's health, young ladies' health, is so significant. The ability for them to do other things is based on their ability to stay healthy. And one of the key things we do, you heard us talk about clean water and sanitation, by having digging wells near schools allows kids to go to school. It allows young girls to have separate toilet facilities so that they can continue to go through, continue to go to school through their maturation periods. There are so many things that we take for granted that are gifts and special to people across the world. And that's, quite frankly, that's why I joined Rotary some years ago, because it's in my DNA to give. And I have found a place that makes me happy, and it makes me happy because it's not just me. It's me connected to the world through Rotary. And I can remember when I first joined Rotary, I joined a club in Virginia, and then I went to my first Rotary convention in Bangkok, Thailand, and it was like 35,000 Rotarians from all over the world, and nobody, I mean, everybody had a smile. They were either carrying the little Rotaract bags, or you saw the round Rotary pin, and in the meetings, it just felt right. And at these conventions, there's a place called the House of Friendship. And you walk in there and you see the numerous examples of all the things we've done across the world. And if Paul Harris can hear us now, see us now, feel us now, I know he's saying, this is good, right? I had so many notes. I was going so fast. One thing I wanted to make sure we emphasize is when George found he had to stay here for a year, he had a Rotarian that became his guest home for that period of time. And I think you called her Miss Lena. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I know it was easy for her to open up her home to you because you're such a lovely young man. I want to also emphasize the project that the Nairobi University of Nairobi Rotaractors had, which was 1,200 backpacks to schools in spite of the fact that things were closed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Want to give a shout out for that too. And we want to give a shout out to E3 Kids International. They made this program possible, and they made they planted the seeds to harvest all the good things that George is doing now. Let me see. I want you, George, I ask him to write a letter to himself, and I want to do that, and then I want to come back and close out with some messages he may have for our listeners. So, George, are you queued up to read your letter now for us?
Yes, please, ma'am. I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it.
So, this is a letter to myself, and it goes, Dear George, looking at you, I see a young, energetic guy fueled with zeal and passion to create an impact in the lives of people. You like the positive side of life and have dignity in all that you do. Your personality has an artistic representation of the highest form of love of neighbors. You always want to be of use and even goes the extra mile of finding ways you can give service to the community and the society at large. Your view on things is of intellectual capacity. An individual who is industrious, you are so courageous and knows how to use your voice to influence people. You are a people person and you treasure the people you meet and the social networks. You never give up, and once you focus on a goal, you never let go until it is achieved. You are optimistic in all your endeavors and even view obstacles and challenges as stepping stones towards a bigger goal and success. Though sometimes you have fear of not giving your best, of maybe a possibility in failure, but one good thing is that you always put your trust in God and have faith in Him. You have such a potential in you, George. Believe in your dreams. I don't want to disclose so much about how your future looks like, but all I can say to you, you are in the right path. Keep up the good faith, the good work, and most important, your trust in God. Goodbye for now, and best of luck as you continue pursuing your career and your life adventure.
Well, I think young George is probably going, yeah, I can't wait to be you. Let me ask you something. What do you think you want to do in terms of Rotary? You're in Rotaract now. You're in college now. You're opening doors, opening opportunities with all of these experiences you're having. What would you like to do? Have you ever dreamed about that yet?
Yes, I have dreamt about that, Mom. And I see myself transiting from Rotaract Club to be a fully Rotary Club member and continuing with the service above self and just being a voice to the society, not only in Kenya, but to the rest of the world. And my ultimate goal is to be one day to be the Rotary International President.
I love it. I love it, everybody. You heard it here. You heard it here. Yes, you did. First. Is this the first time, George, or am I just promoting myself that I heard it first?
You are the one who had it first. I've never said it publicly, but now I have.
Well, you know what's so special about that, though, is sometimes our dreams, our thoughts, and our hopes need only to be spoken to begin the process. Now, I'm going to give you a fun question. It's a dream question. If I gave you a blank check, what would you do with that? And, you know, whatever you want to say, it doesn't have to be Rotary. It's whatever you would like to do with that check.
If I get a blank check, the first thing I will do is to write a check to empower literacy and reading culture so that areas in the world where they're struggling with education and just getting access to literacy material will be easier for them using the funds from the check.
You know, you said you can travel just about anywhere sitting in a chair with a book, right? What's your favorite book? You went to the library, you and your sisters and your dad walked the 10 miles every Saturday. You read. What was your favorite book? Or what is your favorite book, I should say?
My favorite book, when I was young, I used to love Bedtime Stories by Uncle Arthur because it really instilled wisdom and just how best to respect our parents. And that was when I was young. Then when I transited to high school, my dad also had his personal library. And I remember after finishing high school, he gave me a book titled Unlimited Power, A Black Choice, by Tony Robbins.
I know that.
Yeah, that's a book which I really enjoyed, and it's one of my favorite books. And when I visited America, I got a book written, Right to Influence by Carla D. Bass.
How do you spell the last name?
B-A-double-S.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have a growing library. I have to prune it often because I run out of space. But when I hear people that I respect talk about authors they respect, I always like to check them out. So I appreciate that. And I am familiar with Tony Robbins, but I will check out Right to End. Okay.
And lastly, when it comes to, I don't like watching movies. The only thing that I love is reading books because most of the books are the ones which normally eventually become movies. So I've really enjoyed reading books by Tom Clancy.
Me too. Let me tell you, he's so detailed. And you're absolutely right. I was hesitant when they started to make a series of movies because I'm very visually oriented. So I like to write the screenplay in my head. And sometimes I'm disappointed by the movies. So look at us. We have something in common, George. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, I want my listening audience to just take a deep breath and say, wow, we have just heard from a young man who has said yes to the power within himself. Now, what I want to do right now is focus on my listeners and realize that as the weeks go by, there are days when you say to yourself, you know what? I am tired of being tired. I try to do this, it doesn't work. So-and-so doesn't appreciate me. I just don't have enough time. If only, or I should. Let me tell you something. I found this quote, and I want to share it with you. It's called, There is Always More. If by chance no one has told you that they love you today, I would be honored to be the first to say, I love you today. I love you because you are and have been willing to grow. And my, how you have grown. You have grown from struggling to searching, from trying to do something to learning how to do something. You have grown from fear to having faith, to demonstrating your courage. You have grown in many ways. Consistently demonstrating your willingness and your courage to take the next step, the step toward the profound and divine wisdom buried within yourself, the step toward knowing more about yourself. That's exactly why I love you. You are profoundly designed. Growth is a very profound experience. It can be beautiful and ugly, empowering and confining, thought-provoking and mind-boggling, pleasant and unpleasant, all at the same time. Just when you think you got out of it, life seems to say, well, now take this, and you do. Then the minute you're ready to throw your hands up, give up, or beat up on yourself for doing the same thing in the same way, ending up in the same place again, you realize you've not done so badly after all. You know, you've grown when you can meet a challenge, an obstacle, or difficulty without totally losing it. Somehow, some way, in the growth process, you have come upon the understanding that the more you grow, the more you know, the more you're encouraged to grow and to know. There is more of you waiting to unfold. You know what? I want to personally remind you, in addition to what I just quoted, that you are worthy of giving and receiving. Believe you're new every moment. Your time, your energy, your mind, the people you come in contact in your life, they're your gifts and they're infinite. They belong to you and everyone else. Your seat at the table's guaranteed. I look forward to next time. In the meantime, remember, you're stronger than you feel, smarter than you think, more beautiful than you know, and more love than you can ever imagine. I want to thank you, George O'Meara, Rotaract member, visiting with us from Nairobi, Kenya. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking with Tyra G on Radio Fairfax in Fairfax, Virginia. Until soon, this is Tyra.